Happy Wednesday. Here we are. Did you enjoy last Friday off? Good break and everything? Nice. We're back in school, though. So listen to this scripture from Acts chapter 1, where the writer of Acts says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Hope College," that's my addition, "and to the ends of the earth." This semester, our theme is go be a witness. Go be a witness. As we travel through the book of Acts, we're going to hear from witnesses with names like Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila. But we'll also hear from witnesses who didn't have names, like the Philippian jailer and the slave woman who was relieved of her demon possession. But we're also going to hear from witnesses right here at Hope College as well, faculty members, staff members, and we have our 6 senior witnesses this semester as well, too. But today, we have one of those witnesses, Rachel Bishop. Rachel is in the library staff. She's been on staff for 10 years here, and Rachel is going to share a little of her story today, but first, pray with us. Bless you, loving God, that you give us the great gift to share how you work in our life, and Rachel gets to do that today. Now be with her, open our ears and our hearts to what you want to say through Rachel to us today. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Rachel Bishop? Thank you.
Thank you for having me speak today. I'd like to talk about scars and healing, to be exact, as I have a little experience in both. The most pronounced scar I possess is a mark right down the center of my chest, and I earned this quite by accident. You see, about 4 years ago, January of 2011, I started to black out while I was driving my car, and I knew that wasn't good, so I got that checked out, and I found out that I was born with a bicuspid aortic valve and that my heart was failing. In addition, I had also discovered that I had a 5.2 centimeter aortic aneurysm that was about ready to explode. And if it had exploded, I probably wouldn't be alive today. So I needed to get this taken care of. And I soon found myself flat on my back in the operating table of the Meyer Heart Center having open heart surgery to correct a congenital birth defect that had gone undetected for 45 years. Now, I've told this story countless times to many people, and the biggest reaction that I get from most people is, "Rachel, you look so healthy. How did you not know that you had a heart condition?" And the key terms here is invisible. My heart was breaking quietly, but quite literally, and as you'll hear, also quite figuratively, because I use my heart today as a metaphor for things that have happened to me that I've encountered the unfortunate experience of living with invisible scars. I grew up on the other side of the state. For all outwardly purposes, my family looked like the normal middle-class white American family from the Midwest. My dad looked like Alan Alda, and my mom looked like Julie Andrews. Do you guys know who that is? If you don't know who that is, I didn't think so. You're going to have to Google that. So suffice it to say, we are a good-looking family. I was raised in the Catholic tradition, and we went to Mass every Sunday. I've been to every state twice because my family used to take three-week-long vacations, and so we traveled around. We had lavish Christmases and an Easter tradition that included not only candy, of course, but also going to Mass to have our butter blessed and a breakfast of fresh Polish kielbasa and homemade horseradish because my grandparents were Polish immigrants. We had a nice house in a quiet neighborhood. But here's the real story. My mom detested my dad, tolerated my brother at best, and wanted me out of the picture, while my dad's anger burned like a bubbling rage that it exploded at the most inappropriate times. My mom's hatred of her life and those in it was toxic. So when I was about 5, 6, 7 years old, this is what I heard. "Rachel, you look like a witch with your stringy long hair. Do something about your appearance." Oh, I should have married Clay. At least he made me laugh. Rachel, don't tell me you can't see the board. You can see the board just fine. You're only asking for more attention. And no, Rachel, I am not going to help you with the problems you're having at school. That's really for you to figure out. Rachel, you are the biggest mistake I have ever made. Meanwhile, out in the world, we would hear perfect strangers complimenting my parents on how well-behaved my brother Brett and I were. Your children are beautiful, they would say. So well-behaved. No, we weren't. We were just too afraid to move, too afraid that our very existence would cause someone else some pain. And quite like my aneurysm, we were getting ready to explode. So about the time I was 9 and my brother was 7, my parents started leaving us home alone for hours at a time, unsupervised. And the only direction we had was don't eat anything. So the first couple times, my brother kind of looked at each other, and we thought, we don't know what to do, so we started jumping on the couch for entertainment. And when we didn't get in trouble for that, we started watching TV. And when we didn't get in trouble for that, we started eating things out of my parents' pantry. But eating food felt like a direct violation of my parents' rules, and I felt terrible about it. So in fact, my very first confession to my priest was, I stole a few raisins from my parents' pantry. Pretty soon over the years of being left home alone, jumping on the couch, watching TV, and eating things out of my parents' pantry became pretty normal for my younger brother and I, and eventually pretty boring. So by the time I hit age 13, I decided that I would experiment with alcohol. Problem was, I didn't know anything about alcohol. So one day when they were gone, I filled an 8-ounce glass half with vodka, half with juice or whatever. Another one, half with whiskey, half with pop, whatever. It didn't take many of those before I found myself knocked unconscious on the floor in a pool of my own vomit. Vomit that my 11-year-old baby brother cleaned up. He stayed with me that night as I was comatose. The next thing I remember, hours had passed, and I was sandwiched in between my parents when we were driving down the road. When they found out that I had drunk alcohol, they stopped the car, turned around, went back home, and proceeded to kick the crap out of my 11-year-old baby brother. I spent a lot of time alone growing up. I was always trying to make sense of what was going on. I was trying to figure out why my parents didn't want us. And the only peace I had was by myself, with my own thoughts, and with the knowledge that Christ was with me. It was more than just knowledge. It was a feeling. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I was home alone, and I was meditating with Christ in my heart. And he was there. And it was deep and intimate, just like the nuns said it would be. And I knew I was going to be okay. I have carried Christ in my heart ever since. And that was a long time ago, and I've lived quite a life. I have had my moments of high moments. I've had my low moments. I almost didn't graduate from high school. I thought I was stupid. But I graduated from high school, I went to college, I made the dean's list. And after college, I went on to get 2 master's degrees. I've been married, divorced, and married again. And by the grace of God, I got it right the second time. I moved out here to West Michigan 15 years ago, not knowing a soul. I didn't have a place to live, and I didn't have a job. And by the grace of God, I landed on my feet, I became a librarian, and I've been working here at Hope College for the past 10 years. I've had moments in my life of extreme anger. I've had moments in my life of extreme sorrow. I've had moments in my life where I felt very close to God and moments in my life where I was extremely lost. And that is the blessing of my heart condition. It woke me up again to God's love. My heart condition was unnoticed and undetected and invisible, much like the pain I felt when I was a child. And I almost died because of both. But I didn't. My younger brother is in fact dead. He died 4.5 years ago in a bike-related accident. He was 42 years old. He left behind a wife and 3 small children. And I asked myself every day, why? And I've come to know that God has a plan for each of us. And seeing that we're not always privy to those blueprints, we must have faith. It is only through God's grace that I have faith beyond my sight. The guy who hit and killed my brother got a $120 fine. This is less than you will get if you don't stop for a stop school bus. I live with this fact every day, but I'm no longer angry at this person. Why? Only through God's grace. When I found out I had a heart condition, I called my mom to tell her because it's a hereditary condition. I thought she might want to know. But when I called to tell her, she hung up on me. I live with this broken relationship every day of my life. But I'm no longer angry at my mother. Why? Only through God's grace. My dad has softened. He's no longer as angry as he once was. I have softened, and I'm no longer angry as I once was. And our relationship has healed. How? Only through God's grace. Do I have more healing work to do in my walk with God? Of course I do. I often don't feel worthy of love. I often feel less than I should, and certainly less than other people around me. I even forget that God is with me sometimes. It is not easy to turn a lifetime of neglect around, but in my case, I have found that every moment, like this one, right now, is a moment to wake up and feel God's presence in our lives. Because there are no hidden spaces. There is no invisibility in the sight of God. So yes, I have a heart condition, and it is full of love and life and gratitude for everyone and everything that I have endured here on this earth, because God has healed me so thoroughly and completely. He heals all of us, all of our scars, the invisible and the invisible. My heart and my life is not broken in the sight of God. May God be with every single one of you.